Thanks for tuning in to What It Is on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by new panelist, artist, author, poet, Barbie Angel, musician, webmaster, Jay Sanders of Acoustic Syndicate and Creative Allies, editor, and all-around good guy, Fred Mills from Blurt Magazine. Today, What It Is takes a trip to the 3D movie, sipping some new Coke while we listen to the soundtrack from Vampire Weekend and browse MySpace. Yeah, you guessed it. We're talking about next big things that largely fell flat.
Well, Joe, with apologies to Monty Python, when you hear the word the phrase next big thing, the operative term should be beware. It's usually a signifier that someone thinks they've found something that's very cool that inevitably is not going to be cool for very long, or it's some kind of PR hype designed to kind of pump the band up. And it expands throughout the culture. Anybody remember Big Mouth Billy Bass, for example? To segue a little bit, unexpertly into the whole topic, though, Jeff Eason, our good friend and fellow What It Is panelist Jeff Eason, proposed that there's, and this is a bit of an urban legend, but I've heard it before, that there's a curse in the Grammys whenever an artist wins the best new artist award. That's like a curse.
Like getting on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it's funny, so when people think of the next big thing, you know, it's someone that has gotten accolades this year and they are poised to do, you know, big things, i.e. next big thing, and certainly they're going to be rich and famous and popular forever. But I found a website that actually came up with 8 Grammy Best New Artists who weren't, and they listed Debbie Boone in 78, Mark Cohn in 92, Paula Cole in 98. Anybody remember Where Have All the Cowboys Gone?
Yeah, she also toured with Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, yeah. Christopher Cross in 81. The Starland Vocal Band. Ah, Afternoon Delight. 77. The Swingle Sisters in 64. Who?
I don't even remember
A Taste of Honey in 79. And the gold standard for next big things that weren't, Milli Vanilli in 1990.
Milli Vanilli won the Best New Artist Award,
yes,
in 1990.
Which was later revoked, yes, and was never revoked. Awarded to anybody else.
Really?
So there's your trivia tidbit.
Yeah,
tip,
that's,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah,
I guess
so
that's
so
a blessing in disguise,
their,
right
there.
They had their Grammy taken away.
Yeah, so, I mean, in all seriousness, I think that there probably have been as many artists that have been anointed the term next big thing and have gone on to do well. And it appears in a lot of different contexts, too. But again, beware when you hear that term, because it means there's some kind of hype and some stuff going on in the background that's not really relevant to the actual music or artistry being made.
Well, there's also the what would be almost the kiss of death, which is somebody else promoting a band as saying they are going to be bigger than the Beatles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then there is the solid Oasis kiss of death, where you say yourself, we're going to be bigger than the Beatles, and then everyone's just... they're just gone. You can hear the crickets. Not actually Buddy Holly and the Crickets, because they were a big thing that did not fall flat, but yes.
Well, they should aspire to be bigger than Jesus and rather than bigger than the Beatles, if you really want to go all the way back to hyping oneself. I mean, that is a cardinal sin, hyping oneself too much, and that's why they usually leave it in the hands of the labels and the publicists anyway, who can get away with it because everybody knows that they're full of it. They send out these press releases. I get them every day. I mean, you would be amazed how many press releases and emails you get from record labels and music publicists, celebrity publicists, talking about their clients that they have just recorded a new song, or they have just gone out on tour, you know, and they've sold out, you know, a 150 person venue, and so they're going to be the next big thing because those 150 people are going to tell, you know, 10 people a piece, and it's going to multiply. I mean, it's just endless, 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 and it's just all this chatter and static that I, you know, it just drives me crazy sometimes. Let the music stand on its own, people.
Hey, it's devolved even beyond that. Yesterday, I got the email request for a band who will remain unnamed.
You can name them.
But a request, and it says, I can't believe you're not playing this band, you know, play this. And I forwarded it to Martin. I'm like, do we have this? And Martin sends it back. He's like, nah, it's pretty mediocre. And by the way, that person is in the band. So that, you know, put $5 in the jar if you've ever done that, guys.
I am the greatest in this area. I'm the greatest in the world, actually, but I can't go out and say it. I can't go out and tell everybody what a fantastic poet I am and a fantastic writer I am and radio personality. Because nobody would believe me.
Well, you're avoiding the kiss of death there.
And that's why I want all you out there to go out and say it for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Barbie Angel.
She's the greatest.
This points to an interesting thing, though, that I think it's one difference that I've noticed between a lot of the people that we've talked about with all this hype, and it's all about hype and hype and hype and hype. A lot of things, when you actually work hard and actually earn your way and your music is really good, you don't need these machines. The hype generates itself. It's when you try to auto-stimulate or somehow like try to really just get this fire started without merit or value that it's when it's you overinflate these balloons and they just end up popping and largely falling flat, you know. A lot of these, you know, I don't know the history of all of the bands that you just named, but you know, when you have a band that goes out and works really hard, you know, if their merit's good, their art's good, their music's fantastic, then, you know, the hype will be earned in a natural way. But we also live in a really interesting world where all of these up-and-coming bands, like Joe just mentioned, I mean, that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. You have to put your name out there. You have to push yourself. You have to promote. I completely agree that there are many, many, many people out there that do it way too much. You know, posting on Facebook in all capital letters talking about how great you are is not a good thing, folks. It's really not a good thing.
I never capitalize.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you out there, the listening public, are also complicit people because everybody seems to have this hunger for, you know, newer, bigger, faster. And you forget sometimes that these next big things or these best new artist awards sometimes are people that have been doing it for 10 years. It's just that now they finally, you know, ping the radar sufficiently that the tastemakers, you know, quote unquote tastemakers, are taking notice of them. And there's something a little bit wrong about that, but it does seem to be the way the music industry works, don't you think?
Sometimes people just need it, it speaks to the fact that a lot of times people just need to be led by the nose. Sometimes, unfortunately, that's the pathway. Sometimes you can really do things on merit and you know, you pay your dues on the road and you get this fanatical following and then things fall into place. But a lot of times, no, that's not the case.
It's interesting what you said, and forgive me, folks that are listening that actually know who I'm about to talk about because I can't remember her name, but there's a country artist who's originally from Shelby down the road here. She went to Nashville, had a lot of mediocre success, and on her 13th album won the Best New Artist Award at the Country Music Association Awards, and it was her 13th record.
Well, that illustrates what I just said.
Exactly.
Right in, so if maybe you know who I'm talking about. Accolades and these acknowledgments are kind of superficial anyway. I mean, if I were a 15, 20-year music veteran and I got a Best New Artist Award, I would be flattered on one hand, I'd be insulted on the other, because I'd say, where were you when I was playing, you know, these, you know, for 50 people and handing out copies of my demos?
But absolutely.
Well, I think people tend to look at the music industry as if it's, you know, if it's actually the Blues Brothers movie, you know, where you just drive around in this old police car with a megaphone on top, saying, hey, tonight, one night only, you know, we're going to be playing here. And then, boom, this enormous auditorium in Chicago is sold out to people that just wanted to come and hear the Blues Brothers. You know, you really have to put a lot behind it and a lot of work. And
That actually happened to Acoustic Syndicate in Jamaica.
Really?
No, we didn't play with the Blues Brothers, but we were doing a concert with Paul and Fred from Little Feet in the Grill, and we were just all hanging out, getting ready, and all of a sudden we heard a car drive by on the road that was had a speaker mounted on the top and was all like, oh, tonight, Reggae Pond Rocks, yeah. Acoustic Syndicate. It was
Did
hilarious.
Did they have a working cigarette lighter in the car?
I don't know if they
were. Were they wearing glasses?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, it also occurs to me that sometimes, take Vampire Weekend. You mentioned them at the top of this segment that we're taping now. That was a band that sort of came out of nowhere, and they were young kids. They had an interesting sound, and they got picked up by a bunch of bloggers who posted MP3s. Some of the MP3s went viral, and all of a sudden, they had this massive following, and they were getting played on things like World Cafe, and I think their shows went from, you know, maybe 50 people to 500 people, literally within just a couple of months, and that's not insignificant. But then the assessments started kind of coming back slowly. these guys really kind of suck in concert, you know? So they couldn't live up to that hype. And so that's the dark side of this, Milli Vanilli's deception notwithstanding. The dark side is that if you get this kind of award or this kind of recognition, it really sets you up for a fall. And if you're not one of these artists that does have the 10, 15 years that they've already been working towards, so they've got the chops to back it up, man, you will be the next Milli Vanilli because people are going to drop you like a hot potato if you can't deliver.
There's an interesting parallel in the business world where it said, you know, if you're running a company, the minute you land on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, you are cooked.
Yeah.
That's it. It's done because you're overinflated. And it's just what you're talking about, bloggers pumping people up, but they don't have the merit and the quality to back it up. And the truth is that the listening public is a discerning listening public, especially those that truly care about music. And if you don't have it, you ain't got it. It ain't going to be good, and they know it. Well, so, you know, you can't spoon feed everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially like building a fire slowly and getting the kindling in there and, you know, waving it on and all of that, or just tossing a bunch of kerosene on there and boom.
Amy Winehouse.
I think that says it all, Joe.
What do you think? Email us whatitis at wncw.org. Talking about next big things that largely fell flat in the whole realm of purple prose on WNCW.